It's Colossians 2 this morning, and I'm glad you're here today. We were in Guyana, and the theme for the crusade that they call them crusades down there, revivals, or you call them maybe some other things, but one of the things, special meetings, they call them crusades. And pray for Brother Dean Runyon. He is the man that started this great work that's down there. And about 18 years ago, he had a water tower. You'll see what a water tower is more. There are these big rain barrels that they put in their water in, and it fell on top of him and crushed him. And about 18 years ago, and a few years back, he's had complications ever since. He's had surgery, I think 26 surgeries since the time it happened, but still faithful to the work and serving the Lord there in the country of Guyana. And but about a few years ago, he had his colon actually exploded inside of him. All the bile went in, and he had to be medevaced out of the country up to Orlando. He was in a coma for over a month. Woke up in Orlando, didn't even know where he was at. And since then, has had multiple issues. He's had lots of hernia. He took out his large intestine. He has just his small intestine now, and it's always separating in different spots. He's actually having surgery here in a few weeks on another tear there. So just be in prayer for him. But a faithful servant to the Lord, and his dear wife Patty has served God for tirelessly in the country of Ghana for over 23 years, and has started multiple churches and outreaches, and has a beautiful place there in the little town of Port Katuma. And I would say, John, I think you would probably testify to this, probably the prettiest place in Port Katuma. I mean, the most beautiful sanctuary of a place that you could imagine. And so just be in prayer for them as they continue to serve the Lord down there in that region. But one of the things that I bring out to you this morning is this, is that the whole theme of the crusade was being where he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And that was kind of the theme. Being built up in Jesus Christ. I think I'm on now. Being built up in the Lord. But a verse that really struck me was verse number 6. And I've always loved this verse ever since somebody explained it to me when I was back in my college days. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How are you built up in the faith? How are you going to be rooted? How are you going to be established in the faith that God has called you to? Well, there's very two simple things, and that deals with our reception of Christ and our conversation in Christ. Or you might say it like this, our relationship with Christ and our fellowship with Christ, or as I like to say it, our fellowship with Christ. When I began to study this word out, the word walk, especially in verse number 6, where it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. I was amazed to find that this word is mentioned many times all throughout the New Testament. Many different places, but one of the places that you find it most commonly mentioned is in the Gospels. And somebody that you keep hearing it saying over and over again is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the ways in which he puts it and in which it's worded for us is like this. He says those famous words over 18 different times. Listen to these famous words. 18. I was amazed by this. He says the words, follow me. You realize that's recorded 18 times from the lips of Christ. Follow me. That's what he told us to do. Amen. He told us to follow him. He told his disciples to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet thou lackest one thing, and distribute unto the poor. And he says, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And he says, come, and what do you think he says? What? Follow what? Me. Follow me. He says in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. And what do you think the next words are? What? And what? Follow me. Follow me. That's what Christ wants us all to do. Whether you're a follower of Christ at this present moment, or whether you're still maybe this morning in your sins, Maybe this morning you're still not a believer in Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Son of God. And His request is the same to you, to follow Him. Because I'm telling you right now, my friend, there's only one path to follow, and there's only one path really to eternal life. Amen. Jesus says, I am the what? The way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I got a little sick on the trip. A little cold. And you had to take two different COVID tests before you left. You had to take a COVID test before you left and a COVID test before you left the country. And so as I'm leaving the country, that day I'm supposed to take the COVID test, I'm literally sneezing, I'm coughing, my nose is running, I'm hacking up yellow stuff and everything, and I'm thinking, this is great. This is real great, Lord. You know what I mean? I'm going to be stuck in country. And then I thought, oh, well, it won't be so bad. I'll continue to minister. Then I realized, you know what? I couldn't. If I had COVID, I would literally be locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks all by myself. Wow, great fun, you know. No ministry, no nothing. Is this what you want, Lord? And I'm, and, you know, I'm sweating bullets. She's sticking that thing up my nose and it comes out my mouth. I mean, it's just, I mean, and you know, it's just, and they were twirling it all around there. Praise God. Within 24 hours, we had our test results. None of us had COVID and we were back on our planes and ready to get home. And thank God for that. Don't know what that has to do with the message, but praise the Lord. Amen. That's what you got to do to follow Jesus. You got to take COVID tests every once in a while, you know, and, no, folks, seriously, are you following Christ? Now, if I ask for a raise of hands in here this morning, of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, all right? I mean, I don't know that any of us would, whether it was out of shame or whether it was out of other people looking at us, but I'm sure the majority of us, if we ask the question, are you following Jesus, we would, even if we thought that we weren't doing our best, we would probably go, I am. I'm following Christ. I'm doing that. I'm following Jesus. Well, the first step to following Christ is found in your text here in verse number 6. And a very important word is the word as. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You say, how did I receive Christ? Well, the context is given to us in verse number 5 when he says, I've been beholding your order. And I've been looking and studying and noticing something else about you at the end of verse 5. The steadfastness of your what? Faith. You got your Bibles open, Colossians 2:5. He says, I've been beholding what? The steadfastness of your what? Faith. Your faith in Christ. And so that's the context. Your faith in Jesus Christ. What does Hebrews tell us? That without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. That's what is the requirement that God gives to us. And so, how did you receive Jesus Christ? You received Him by what? Faith. For by grace are you saved through, anybody the next word? What? Faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. It's all through faith. It was like when Jesus spoke to the woman that had an issue, and He says to her, after she has believed upon Him and she goes away, he says to this lady, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. It's all of faith, my friend. The Pharisees came to Jesus one time and they said, what must we do to work the works of God? And He says, this is the work of God. Even this, that thou believe on the Son of God, the Son of Man. Believe on Jesus Christ. That's the work that God has commanded us all to do. To believe upon Him. That's what we must do in order to receive Christ. Our reception of Him. Another verse that you might be familiar with is John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or the authority to become the sons or the children of God. The sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But we know that not all have received Him. We know that the Bible even teaches us in the verses before that, not that all the world even knew Him. He came into the world and the world knew Him not. He came into His own and His own received him not. But as many as received him. Have you received him? Have you received him? You say, how do I receive Christ? Anybody? Now, I had a hard time picking a volunteer out in Guyana. Anybody want to be a guy? Anybody want to be, John, you can't be a volunteer, all right? You know where I'm going with this. Anybody want to be a volunteer this morning? Just raise your hand. Anybody? You be a volunteer? All right, all right. A volunteer? Come on up here, Luke. Stand right here, Luke, all right? Receive. Now, in Romans 6:23, I really just brought Luke up here to embarrass him, and it didn't make him stand here awkwardly for several minutes. But in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And John 3:16, you know the verse well. It says, for God so loved the world that he what? What did he do? He gave. He gave. It is a gift. It is a gift. That's what salvation is. Salvation is a gift of God. For the wages of sin is death. That's what the devil, that's the devil's gift to us. All right. That's a wonderful gift. I'm going to give you death. I'm going to give you sin. I'm going to give you the grave. I'm going to give you woe, sorrows, and troubles. Okay. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I have a gift for Luke today. I have a gift for Luke. See, you should have raised your hand, Randy. And I have a gift for him. But what do you think is going to stop Luke having the gift? I'll give you the answer. It's the reception of it. The only thing that will stop Luke from having the gift that I want to give him is the reception of it. A political figure could come into Austin today. And the people of Austin could either receive the person, or they could reject the person. The people of Austin can say, hey, we don't want your kind here. We don't want to listen to you. Get out of here. That happened in one town where Jesus showed up and he healed the maniac of Gadara. You remember that? And the townsfolks came out of that place of Decapolis, those region of 10 cities. And as they came out, they saw the mighty work that was done and they were afraid. And they said to Jesus, we don't want you here. Please leave our coast. Get out of here. So there's some towns that rejected him. There was another town in Samaria where there was a woman at the well. She was being spoken to by Jesus Christ, and she went into the towns and she told all the people, she said, come out and see this man who told me all things whatsoever I did. And all the townspeople came out and they received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and many were saved in that Samaritan town that day. There's rejection or reception. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's the only two options that you have. The first step in following after Jesus Christ, when Jesus says, follow me, is that you must receive him as Lord and Savior. You must believe upon him that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. Oh, it's getting even better now, isn't it? Oh, I didn't mean to pull out two.
I need a double.
I seriously thought there was only one in here, but I guess I need to be like the Lord. And I've got 40 bucks. You got it. I've got 40 bucks right here. It's not much. And I want to give this to Luke. I'm offering this to him for free. This is a gift. A gift that I'm not asking him to do anything in return. In the sense that I'm not asking him that he do something in order to have this gift. And I'll expound upon that in just a little bit. But we're on the first point. And the first point is just simply this. Is that this gift, he has done nothing to receive it. It's not earned. I'm not giving this because he taught Sunday school this morning. I'm not going to give this to him because he's a good friend of mine. I'm not going to give this because he's helped me out for any reason. I don't owe Luke $40, okay? And Luke, it's yours.
Just like that.
Just like that. Now, can I have another volunteer? I'm just joking. No more volunteers.
You're going to reject.
Yeah, you're Luke, did you see how easy that was? I want to, maybe you didn't see it. Let's just try the transaction again. Luke, I want to give you this gift. In case you missed it, you saw it again right there. It wasn't that hard. And now I know that sometimes salvation is not easy for people to take in. It's not easy in the sense that not that easy of a transaction, because they've got sin, they've got guilt, they've got burdens, they've got family pressure. There was a guy that we witnessed that we were with, a preacher boy. Whenever he got saved, 16 years old, Elian was his name, and he went home and he told his mom that he had received Christ Jesus as Savior, and she saw a change in his life. He was a rebellious, ungodly, wicked teenager before that, and she looked at him and she said, "Elian, I want the old Elian back, and if you don't bring him back," she said, "you can go out of here." I know it's not always easy to receive Christ, but aren't you glad that it is that easy? It's just receiving him. It's humbling yourself and realizing I can do nothing for myself. I did not earn this, get this. There's nothing that I can do to keep this even. And God is giving you this for me. And all I must do is reach out and beg to God, just like that man did with his hands down on with his knees down on the ground, and his head down to the floor. And when he said to the Lord, he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, a sinner." A sinner. Thank you, Luke. You may sit down. The reception of Christ, it's a relationship. It all begins there. It begins as we understand who we are and who God is. Amen. That we are sinners. We have nothing to offer to God, but God has everything to offer to us. He has everything. He has eternal life, that believing upon him alone will save us from our sins. Have you believed that? Are you saved? Are you a believer in Christ? I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking if you've given in the offering. I'm not asking if you ever told somebody about Jesus. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a member. I'm not asking you any of those things. I'm asking you this. Has there been a point in time in your life? I'm not saying that you got to know the exact day or the exact hour, but there's been a point in time in your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. You've called out to him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Or as we say it sometimes to people, if you were to die right now, are you 100% for sure that your sins have been forgiven and that you're going to heaven? Do you know that? As a believer, and if you claim to be a Christian, you should be. And you can be. You can have great assurance of salvation in the Lord, because he's done it all for us. The second step of this walking with Jesus is not only the reception that you have, your relationship with him, but secondly is this, our conversation. Go in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1 and verse number 27. This is not a term that we use in our word, in our language, oftentimes today. Conversation in our language today means us, like Mason and I, after church, we have a conversation. We're talking amongst one another. That's a conversation. That's what we term today as that being. But in our King James Bible, we find that the word conversation is used in many different senses. One place in another part in the book of Philippians, the word conversation is used to demonstrate our citizenship that's in heaven. But in this place here in particular, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent from you, as I may hear from your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The word there means this, your lifestyle. It means who you are. It means your perception in life. It means that your lifestyle and who you are, it is a reflection of your following of Jesus Christ. People know you are a follower. They see it in your conversation. And let me just use it in our modern vernacular. Do people notice Christ in your conversations, in your dealings with people? That's what the word is. It's the idea of your dealings, of how you deal with business with people, how you handle situations. How did you handle that situation at work last week? How did you handle that situation with your wife or your spouse? How did you deal with that tough situation with one of your children? How did you handle that argument that was wanting to brew in your home? How did you handle that shady business deal that somebody wanted to get you involved in? How did you handle that? That is your conversation. Did you get mad? Did you get upset? Did you lie, cheat, or steal? Did you kind of try to shade some areas and make things gray when it was really black or white? God wants our conversation to be as it becometh the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If you are, then you ought to have a righteous and godly conversation. That's how you walk with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Randy, you're gonna let you be voluntold, all right? Come on up here, all right? I'm not gonna give you $40, okay? I'm sorry, okay? But I have this right here. Now, oftentimes we think that following Jesus Christ is like this. Put this on your eyes, please. All right? It's upside down. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Can you see me?
No.
All right. How many numbers am I holding up?
I'm going to guess four.
I'm not holding up any. All right. So sometimes we think that following Christ is like this. All right, Randy, I want you to go down to the rest. I want you to go to the back door and go out there and go check the mail. Okay. And just leave those blinders on. All right. No, you don't have to do it. Randy, I want you to go over to the fellowship hall. I want you to empty the trash, take it to the dumpster, and I want you to complete all the tasks, come back to me and report how you did.
Okay.
This is what we think of following Jesus is like. It's like when we get saved, this is us before we get saved. But then when we get saved, God puts the blinders on and says, okay, walk by faith. I'm just going to kind of just like put you out in the darkness. Blindfold you, just walk by faith. And we think this is what walking by faith is, but my friend, that's not walking by faith. This is what happens before you're saved. You're blind. Once I was blind, but now I what? See. God has taken the blinders off. Thank you, Randy. You may be seated. He's taken the blinders off and he has allowed you now to walk by faith and not by sight. And when the Pharisees came to him one time after he'd healed a blind man, they said, be we blind also? How stupid of a question. Does a blind man say, am I blind? Does a seeing man say to somebody, am I blind? No, it's obvious. God opens your eyes whenever you are not blinded. He opens your eyes so that you can see, so that you can walk, and so that you can live in this life in a way that's pleasing and glorifying to the God Almighty. And why does he do that? Because of this. Because there is an enemy out there that is walking about. We've got to be careful with our walk with Jesus and following him, because there is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why follow Jesus after you're saved? Why continue to follow on? Why does he say, follow me 18 different times? I'll tell you why. Because there's somebody out there that's hot on your heels that would more than want to destroy you, your testimony, and your family. The biggest weapon in the Satan's hands is an unsurrendered Christian. The biggest weapon in Satan's hands. What has hurt the cause of Christ more than anything else? Than when I do not live for Jesus. And I live for something else. That's the biggest weapon the devil has. And how many times have I not lived for Christ? How many times have I put other things before my Lord? How many times have I fallen prey to the Satan's traps? Jesus is quite serious about this business of saving our souls. And I'll tell you right now that the devil is quite serious in this business of tripping and trapping us in sin and ungodliness. How serious are we about following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. Therefore, our walk should be an everyday walk. Literally, that's what the word means whenever it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him. It is the word to tread all around. It is the idea to stamp all around, to move ever all around, everywhere you go. If you read your Bibles, you'll find that this happens oftentimes, is that the walk is oftentimes associated with your lifestyle, with who you are, everything that you do in life. Wherever you go, whoever you sit down beside, whoever you talk to, wherever you're at, this is your walk. Your walk is not coming to church. Amen? That's not your walk. That's a very small percentage of your walk, but that's not your walk. Your walk is what you do tomorrow morning. And Tuesday, and Wednesday night, and Thursday at 7 p.m., that's your walk. That's who you are. The devil is walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for an easy prey. Are you easy prey? Are you being careless in your walk? Are you being cocky in your walk? Are you being a little bit too confident in your walk and you're not depending upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like you ought to be? Are you being covetous in your walk? Are you being too self-conscious in your walk and worrying about what everybody else thinks about you? It's an everyday walk, everything that you do. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. The Gospel of John, chapter number 21, and look what it says here. Another instance of when Jesus says to follow me. He's looking at Peter, and he tells Peter, in John 21, in verse number 19, he says, that you're going to die, Peter. And that's not a very pleasant message, but that's the message he got. And he says, you're going to die by crucifixion. That's the word picture that he gives in verse number 18. And then he says in verse number 19, he says to Peter, he says, follow me. And then Peter, turning about, see the disciple that Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast of at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and that's the disciple John. He looks at John, Peter does, and he says to the Lord Jesus, he says, what shall this man do? And I love Jesus' response here. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Your walk with Jesus is an everyday walk, but it's also a personal walk. Your walk with Christ is not comparing yourselves among each other, because when we do that, we are not wise. My walk, my friend, is not Bruce's walk or Miss Sherry's walk or Melissa's walk or Mason's walk or Albert's walk or John's walk or our Destiny's walk. My walk is not your walk. Jesus told Peter, you're going to die by the way of crucifixion. Follow thou me. Peter looks at John and says, what will happen to this man? Jesus says, don't worry about it. That's none of your business. You stop worrying about everybody else and focus on what you need to do, Peter. And guess what? Things will work out the way they ought to do. And too often times, I'm focused on what this person's doing and how they're doing and how they're walking and what they shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be saying and how they're dressing and how they're saying and how they're late for work and how they get all the bonuses and how they don't do this and how they do this and how I should do this and how blah, 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 blah. And all of these things, when God is looking at me and God is looking at us and he says, stop worrying about everybody else. Follow thou me. Why don't you follow me? It's a personal walk. It's a conversation. It begins with a relationship, but it continues in a fellowship. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so now by faith walk ye in him. Not blindfolded, but looking about, seeing everything that is around you. How in the world am I ever going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ if I'm blindfolded? How can I talk to somebody and notice somebody that is sitting down beside me in an airplane that needs the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or wherever I'm at? How am I going to do that if I put the blinders on and I don't open up my eyes? And as we've learned, as Bruce has said, walking circumspectly with our eyes wide open, noticing and looking and seeing that people need the Lord. People need Christ. It's a personal walk that we must do on an everyday basis. And it's not only personal, but it is also an occupied walk. Jesus says in John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What do you occupy your time with? Do you occupy it with walking with Christ, walking with Jesus? Jesus says, you've got the light. Walk ye while you have the light. Christian, you ought to be the light. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. We are the light. Folks, you don't have a whole lot of time in this world. I don't have a whole lot of time. You don't know when your last breath will be. And may I say this to some of the younger folks in here, maybe to some of the older ones too, is that there is a lost world out there that is dying and needing Jesus Christ. And are you going to stay? Are you going to get sucked in to the American dream and believing that as long as I've got a big house, two cars, I'm married and life is okay, that I'll be all right in the end? Are you a teenager this morning and are you going to realize that you don't need to be living the American dream? You need to be living the dreams that God wants to give to you. You need to be living out what God wants to reveal in your life. Because something much more valuable than just a couple of cars and a big fancy house and a big padded bank account and a good IRA is this: are souls added to your account? Souls added. If I just had this, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be happy. Now he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, but God's never called me to the mission field, preacher. I don't think that's where God wants me. Can I give you a little info right here? Is that Pastor Abiram down there in Diamond, Georgetown, cannot reach your coworker? Amen. He can't reach your friend and your neighbor. He can't reach those people, but God has logistically set you up as a believer in Jesus Christ in order that you can reach them. But maybe there is somebody here today that would just go ahead and surrender to God and say, you know what, God, I don't want to live for the American dream. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm willing even to just give it up to go follow Jesus. I'm willing to give up those dreams. I'm willing to give up a college degree or a fancy job. I'm willing to give that up so that I can follow Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want to do it, and I need grace to do it. But perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You've never received Him as Lord and Savior. He is not your God. He is not your King, friend, or Savior. And maybe this morning, this is the day that you need to receive Christ and believe upon Him. Stop waiting. Stop playing games. Stop saying, well, I'm okay. Don't be like me for nights and nights on end, I kept convincing myself, I'm okay. I do this. No. Stop playing games. If you're not saved, and the Holy Spirit of God is touching your shoulder and touching your heart this morning, why don't you humble yourself and believe? For just as I gave Luke that $40 and he received it, I'm telling you right now, my friend, is that God Almighty is offering to you something a whole lot greater. Words cannot even describe what he is holding his hand out today and willing to give to you. It's called the unsearchable riches of Jesus. An inheritance that's incorruptible,